Chapter 10, Breach of Fiduciary Duty versus Mistake 2024 as a Believer. I have in my past taught this many times over the last many years. Some of you have been on this call for 20 plus years, Chapter 10. And you've heard Breach of Fiduciary Duty versus Mistake 2024. Today you're going to hear it different because there is always, as there is in Bible, there is a beginning, middle, and an end. Well, with the Bible, there's a beginning, a middle, and it never ends. These lessons get more difficult as you go on, but today, in light of what has happened and what is happening in this country, I decided to teach the whole lesson. The whole lesson to a believer. Not to the world, to a believer. I've tried for years to teach chapter 10 to a wide variety of people. Paul says, be all things to all people so that some can be saved. Let me run that down for you. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to understand what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote, I have become all things to all people. Let's keep the statement in context. He had relinquished his rights to be married, and to draw a salary from the church. He didn't do that either. Paul had completely abandoned himself to the purposes of Christ and bore the marks of that decision in his own body. See Galatians 2:20 and 6:17. Some have used Paul's statement, I have become all things to all people, as an excuse to live worldly lives, assuming that unrepentant sinners will be impressed and want to come to Christ. But Paul never, ever compromised God's moral standards set forth in Scripture. He never breached fiduciary duty to his post as a bondservant and an apostle. Never. He knew how to behave in a Hebrew household. He could dispense with cultural Jewish traditions when he was in a Greek household. He could be all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. Basically, what does that mean? He knew how to listen, identify, and redirect with people. He knew how to listen to people. He knew how to identify with people. He knew how to redirect the mind of people to the gospel. He did not do that by sinning with sinners. He did it like Jesus, listening, identifying as a sinner, and redirecting people to the forgiveness of the cross. What does that have to do with chapter 10? Well, I got to tell you, you are the example as Paul. Breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. Oh, this is a big one. When talking to a secular world, it's easy. This is easy. I've told you before, up to chapter 36, anybody can make money from the stuff I teach. After that, you got to believe in the one true God in the book. Well, today, that's different. This chapter 10, breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake, this is to a believer. Well, what was it like before? Well, it's always the same. There's just, like the Bible, more of it. There's more of it. What does that have to do with chapter 10, breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake? Okay, it's towards a believer, Patrick. What? When talking to a secular world, a breach is a decision that you cannot change. You knew better and did it anyway. Now suffer the consequences. Which could be your whole life, by the way. On the other hand, a mistake for the secular world is a boo-boo. Oh, sorry, Judge. I didn't know any better. Well, don't do it again, Junior. That's to the secular world. Is it still bad? Yeah, a breach of fiduciary duty is bad. When you take the power that you have been given as an owner of a company and you misuse it, misrepresent, make mistakes, spend money, do things you shouldn't do, bet the world on the company and put it in dire straits, yeah. And then you say you're sorry, you know, I didn't know any better, I was just trying to do my best. Okay, it's a boo-boo, didn't know any better. Just didn't know that whatever is a bad thing, whatever it is. So one can own up to it and fix it in a mistake. How fast I say the measure of the man is how fast he gets off of it and says, okay, I'm sorry. And of course, the sooner the better, and things might be okay. You know, like if the mistake doesn't kill you, the world will probably let you off with a warning. Easy enough to explain to the masses, right? I'm not talking today to the masses. I'm talking to you, a believer in Jesus Christ, Messiah, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior of the world, who died and rose from the dead for the sins of the world. Pretty big deal. For a believer, there is a lot more to breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. A lot more. Saturday, Donald Trump was nearly assassinated. America is clearly without God, and lawlessness is quickly spreading across the nation. Yeah, well, what am I going to do? Okay, I got it. I'm with you. Listen, why is this happening? Because the church is not doing its job to push back on the evil that is not so quietly taking over our world, families, children, and yes, our churches. Is the church breaching a fiduciary duty? Some are. Clearly, the Jesus show out there to make money and all the crazy stuff that people are talking about in the name of Christianity, some are on the brink, some have gone off the deep end, some are holding firm against the wind, as they say. They're holding firm. Let's explain chapter 10 as a believer. Now, I'll get back to breach of fiduciary, but let's explain chapter 10 as a believer. Breach of fiduciary duty is decisions made against God and without God. Misdirections in his name as we walk, as if we're anointed sinners. So we're somehow anointed sinners and we can do whatever we please. And without a doubt, I know it's wrong in his capital H eyes. I know it, yet I don't care and I do it anyway. I have committed a terrible infraction of the rules by misrepresenting God. Why? Because Luke 12:48, everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You've been given a lot. I've been given a lot. If I choose to set that to the side, or even worse, use the powers given to me by the Holy Spirit to break the law and represent darkness, cheating in my business, lying to my spouse, stealing in honorable trades of work in my office, stealing in the trade, stealing in the deal, taking advantage of my position, fraud, I am committed as a believer by misrepresenting God as my incorrect example of sanctification, being a wrong, incorrect, yeah, these little things, oh, that's easy stuff, isn't it? That's easy, right? Cheating in my business, lying to my spouse, stealing, oh, breach of fiduciary duty in the Lord. That was just the opening sort of, that was just like to get in. This is just like, you know, the payment just to get in to the club here of breach of fiduciary duty. What about not voting? Not standing against those things that clearly tear a country apart, a people, a church, children. What do you stand for? What do you get out of the way because it's inconvenient? What do you get out of the way? Let's just move this out of the way. It's a little inconvenient. Our country now supports the mutilation of children for sexual preference. Our president stood on the Capitol steps and in a joyous salute of LGBTQ rights on the holiest day of our Lord Jesus Christ, he smiled at the nation. Do I stand by as laws are passed that prosecute parents who object to the control of their children by the government? Do I stand by and let the Lord's country spend billions and billions of dollars on wars as our cities and states fall into ruin? San Francisco, Los Angeles, Louisiana, many more are sadly now empty and trashed. Our people, hospitals, homeless, jobless. Is not voting a breach of fiduciary duty? Is it a mistake to go on about my business without so much as a second thought of telling God I'm sorry for not participating in the movement to stand against what stands against you? But I'm a Christian and I go to church. I'm a man of God. First of all, by doing nothing, do I condone it? What can I do? People say. You tell me. You tell me. Is standing idle while all this happens around me a breach? Do I stand in the right church, read the book, keep my children close, and in schools that stand for the grassroots Judeo-Christian values that built this country, even though it's more expensive than medical insurance? Do I stand against my grown children when clearly they choose the wrong path? Do I stand as the only example in the neighborhood, as the example of the word of the world of Christ and the cross? You may be the only thing that people see in their life that represents Christ. Look, you can read the Bible yourself and make your peace with God. I can only give you a few questions to ask the mirror in the morning. I can't tell you what to think. It's not my place. I can tell you to read the book. I can tell you you're a believer. I can tell you you're going to have to ask yourself some pretty serious questions. For me, where do I send my children for school? I'm telling you, it costs more than medical. Where do I go to church? Who do I vote for in this country? that the Lord has given us, this freedom the Lord has given us. What is it I stand for? Do you know my Christian brothers, your Christian brothers and sisters died so that we could be free? Died. They stood on the coast in New York and died for this freedom. We don't have that in schools anymore. We don't teach that. We don't say the Lord's Prayer. We don't talk about God. We don't talk about the history of men and women that died for the freedom that we have. So what do I pray for? What do I, as forgiveness, what do I pray for? What do I ask him for in the redirection of my life? What do I say? I'm sorry. I can't do more. Redirect my life. Use me where you can. The highlights of chapter 10, however, is the mistake. Breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. The mistake. I decide not to repent. It's not important. I didn't vote. No big deal. I got to ask myself, is that a violation? The wrong people get in? Is it my fault? Hey, what can I do? I'm entitled to do what I want and create my own misrepresentation of Christ. God still loves me. Without repentance, that's not repentance, by the way, that's stupid. Without repentance, I do not fear God or his power. Do you know that today I can't say stupid on Google? They will take me off. I can't say it on Facebook. They'll remove my, I can't say that. I can't say that we have all done stupid things. They'll remove my post. Without repentance, I do not fear God or his power or become a tool of change. I do not fear hell or the wrath of the Son. I have forgotten that by the blood of Christ, I am now a descendant of Abraham, one of God's chosen, and therefore entitled to the free gift of salvation given at the cross and the responsibility of sharing the gospel to the lost. Breach of fiduciary duty is the sin. It is the violation. Failure to repent is the mistake that costs everything for a true believer. This is huge. As I read scripture, put America or yourself in this set of scriptures. Deuteronomy 28. Now look, I can't read the whole thing, but you know, you're going to get the picture here. Blessing for obedience. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, carefully observing all his commandments, which I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overwhelm you when you obey the voice of the Lord your God. May you be blessed in the city and blessed in the country, blessed in the fruit of your womb, the produce of your soil, and the offspring of your livestock, the issue of your herds, and the young of your flocks. Blessed be your grain basket and your kneading bowl. May you be blessed in your coming in and blessed in your going out. Victory and prosperity. The Lord will beat down before you the enemies that rise up against you. They will come out against you from one direction and flee before you in seven. The Lord will affirm the blessing upon you and your barns and all your undertakings. He will bless you in the land of the Lord your God is giving. The Lord will establish, get that, the land the Lord your God is giving you. The land. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he swore to you, even if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. He swore to you these things. All the people of the earth will see that the name of the Lord is proclaimed over you, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will generously increase the fruit of your womb, the offspring of your livestock, and the produce of your soil. Did you dig that? The Lord will open up his rich storehouse, the heavens, to give your land rain in due season and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, the top, not the bottom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am giving you today, observing them carefully, not turning aside either to the right or to the left from any of the words which I am giving you today, following other gods and serving them. If you don't do any of that, look what you get. He doesn't say that to the world. He says it to a believer, the chosen of God. You are the descendant of Abraham now. This is you. You get all that for believing in God, for following him correctly. That was verse 1 through 14. 15 through 36 describes the turning away from the one true God. Now, I can't read all of it. I can read a little bit. But hopefully the words will stall even the most hardened of heart. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, carefully observing all his commandments and statutes which I give you today, all these curses shall come upon you and overwhelm you. Yeah, think about that for a second. When you get to verse 43, this reminds me of the borders that we have. Verse 43, the resident aliens among you will rise above you higher and higher while you sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, not you to them. They will become the head, you the tail. All these curses will come upon you, pursuing you and overwhelming you until you are destroyed. Because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and statutes, which he gave you. Oh, my goodness! Verse 46 says, they will be a sign and a wonder for you and your descendants for all time. This is pretty serious stuff. Since you would not serve the Lord your God with heartfelt joy for abundance of every kind, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and utter want, you will serve the enemies whom the Lord will send against you. Oh, my God, do you see this happening? He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he destroys you. This is not groovy stuff. And our country turns away from this. This is insane. You heard what our government is doing these days for our children alone. I would go on in that scripture, but it's too graphic for this call. And it's horrifying. Scripture is too graphic. Can you dig that? It's too graphic for me to say. I can't read it. A warning against breach of fiduciary duty versus a mistake to all that have been given so much. Has it ever happened? Yes! He said this to Israel. Israel was given much and lost much in disobedience and failure to repent. Failure to repent many times. When do we learn, America? When do we learn, Bob, Phil, Alice, me? When do I learn? Verse 58, he's killing me. If you're not careful to observe all the words of this law, which is written in this book, and to fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants wondrous calamities, severe and constant calamities, and malignant. Oh, isn't that a horrible word? Malignant and constant sickness. He will bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt. You ever read about the diseases of Egypt? They're insane, which you dread, and they will cling to you. Even in any sickness or calamity not written in this book of the law, that to the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Isn't it a lot better just to obey this guy? Your life will hang in suspension. You will stand in dread both day and night, never sure of your life. 68b, and I'll end it with there because it's just too much. And there you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. Kids, breach of fiduciary duty by a believer is the willful decision walking against God. The mistake, no repentance. You see how easy this was for me to just talk to everybody, not believers? If I just talk to the world at large, a breach of fiduciary duty is when you know better, you can't change it. You do the crime, you do the time. And the mistake, you know, you can get over it. You can get over it. Well, you can get over it here with God, too. Correctness replaced by power and authority above God. That is the breach. Correctness is replaced by power and authority above God. False knowledge, disobedience, irresponsible, irreverent, disrespectful, arrogance. Where will you stand in all this calamity? With the few? Hopefully with the few. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Great men have fallen, great countries, all without God. When teaching a secular or a non-believing atheist, altruistic, or agnostic audience, breach of fiduciary duty is easy. You commit the crime, like I said. You know, you can say you're sorry, but you'll live with it perhaps the rest of your life. I mean, you'll live with it. You can say you're sorry, but you get to continue. I mean, if you're still alive, you get to continue. But you will live with it perhaps the rest of your life. When you commit a mistake, something you didn't know about, you know, you know, the courts will say, I'm sorry. Okay, all right. But in the world of God, If you repent and turn away from the breach. If you repent and turn away from the breach. Now remember what I said. In a secular world, you say you're sorry, you get off the hook, but you don't get restored. You'll pay the parking ticket. And the parking ticket sometimes could be very serious. What do you get as a perk as a believer? If you repent and turn away from the breach, repent as a verb moving forward, meaning you live that way. That is honored by God. That is honored by Him. What's your perk? What do I get? We all say that. We're CEOs. What do I get? Well, apologize to the Lord, repent, and live on the path of Christ, forgiven and free. That's what you get, Isaiah 61. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. I'd say that sounds a lot better than standing by and watching all this go on without asking the Lord, what shall I do? Who shall I vote for? What shall I be? What shall I stand for? Where shall I send my kids? Look, man, history has a bunch of them with a lot more going for them than you that failed. A lot more. God gave them a lot more than me or you. King Solomon, great potential, failed, no repentance. King Saul, great potential, failed, no repentance. 400 years of kings in Israel, no repentance or very little, failed. American leaders, great potential, failing as we speak, no repentance, big mistake. David, King David, great potential, repentance and sorrow for his sins. Wow, what happened then? Breach, restored, forgiven, magnificent success. How many people do not do that, or worse, say they are doing God's walk and are not? Guiding decisions of unrighteousness, not by God at all. Guiding your decisions with unrighteousness as a believer of God, not by God, only by self, power. And here's the worst one, and hatred of all that is holy. Can we do that? I'm a believer. Yeah, we do that by standing still. That's the breach. The mistake is not turning back. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You got to learn. Do you know what the greatest gift of fiduciary responsibility? Do you know what the greatest gift is? To be able to continue. To continue. That's the greatest gift of fiduciary responsibility. Do you know what the greatest consequence of the breach? To be forgotten. Forgotten. To have the memory of being special, but you're not special anymore. Some might say the greatest gift of heaven and the greatest consequence is hell. the greatest gift is heaven and the greatest kind. Well, that would be on point. On the topic, Benjamin Franklin writes, wise men don't need advice and fools won't take it. Benjamin, that was good. Wise men don't need advice and fools won't take it. Well, I think about that. I don't need advice. Well, I do need advice, and I don't need to be told I need advice. I know I need it. I know it. Revelations 2:5. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Does it need to get any clearer? Revolution, evolution, America, I would say. If we are to survive as a republic, revolt against yourself and evolve. Evolve. What would I say to Donald Trump? The Lord saved your life. Jesus Christ touched you and his blood has saved you. How many more seconds do you have? What will you do with it, my brother? What will you do with it? Joe Biden, Mr. President, what have you done and what will you do for the Lord? I say this to our contenders. Why? Because Romans is clear. People have no excuse for the bad things they do. They knew God, but they did not give glory to God or thank Him. Their thinking became useless. Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here we go, kids. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Jason, I'm going to ask you to pray in a minute. Chapter 10. breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. As a believer, a representative of Christ, my God in heaven, direct us and protect us so we can turn away from the breach and be used as a tool from our mistakes that we have learned and we can share with people and begin to change the things that stand against the Lord. Pastor Jason Powell, would you pray for us?